hi to someone sitting next to you. Take a minute.
Especially in Western states, and invasive species. it outcompetes native grasses. And when land burns, cheatgrass is some of the stuff that comes up most quickly. And it has more shallow roots. It has very little nutritional value. So if you're a farmer or a rancher, and you're trying to forage your livestock, cheatgrass, when it takes over, you feel cheated because it really doesn't offer you anything. You
screen to
go to harvest to see cheatgrass.
Why
get much there. Unscrupulous grain merchants, when they would sell 50-pound bags of seed, of wheat seed, they would often take out maybe 5 or 10 pounds and mix in cheatgrass as a filler. And then when you realize well, the plants in the field are not wheat, and you realize, I've been cheated. That's cheatgrass. So here's another story that Jesus told. I don't know where why this is not working. Matthew chapter 13. Do you have a Bible? You want to turn there? The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers left, his enemy came and planted weeds among the weeds that slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. And then it goes on to say, the farmer's workers went and said to him, "Sir, the field that you planted, that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer explained. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. So Jesus' story, it is in this story that the field workers are the ones who discover the problem. They discover that there are weeds growing along with the wheat. And so they report it to the farmer. And anyone who knows much about gardening, have you ever been in the garden and you're pulling weeds?
What do you want to do?
And that weed gets tangled up with something that you want there.
Yeah.
And then when you're in a hurry or you misidentify, you end up pulling something you don't want to pull. And maybe you disturb something you don't want to disturb as you're kind of weeding your bed. With growing of wheat and wheat and tares, it's even more difficult to tell the plants apart, and the roots are even more intertwined. So intertwined that if you try to pull tears out of wheat, if you try to get those weeds out of that wheat, you're not going to have much success at that. "Should we pull out the weeds?" "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds and tie them into bundles and burn them and put the wheat in the barn." So they really are similar looking. I know this is a little bit crazy, the picture. I really didn't plan that. The Lord just helped me produce that story. See, the kingdom of God draws in all kinds of people. kingdom of God holds in people who are good and people who are evil. People who are useful and people who are useless. People who are truthful and people who are dishonest. The kingdom of God holds in the people who are truly committed, and it holds in the people whose hearts are really elsewhere and they're just going through the motions. And they're all growing together in the same field in this world. So once again, the disciples, when they hear this, they ask Jesus for an explanation. And so here's another parable that Jesus explains fully to them. His disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." And Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels." So already we notice that Jesus is using the same kinds of images that we have already found in other parables, but they mean different things. In the parable of the sower, for example, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. In this parable, we're told the seed is good people and bad people. Those who are good and those who are evil. The seeds are people. The parable of the sower, what is the soil? Representing your life and the heart. In different ways, the heart receives the seed. In this parable, the soil is the world. That's the field into which the good and evil are sown all together. So let me ask, let me read on a little further. "Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom." Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So a question I have is, whose job is it to sort out the harvest? Whose job is it to sort out the harvest? Alright, let's look at another parable. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Whose job is it to sort good fish from bad fish? Lord's. His angels. See, I may think I can tell a weed apart from a tare. I may think I can tell a good fish from a bad fish. I can guess at who is a sheep and who is a goat. But is sorting those things out my job? In Matthew 25, the parable of the sheep and goats, the one who separates is the Son of Man, with his angels assisting. Here's the deal. You and I have all kinds of people in our lives who we're pretty sure they're weeds. Pretty sure we have neighbors who are weeds. Have you ever had a coworker you thought, "Boy, that's a weed right there"? You go to school, our schools are filled with weeds. Driving, road rage I experienced. That's weedy kind of driving people. Some of us suspect we have weeds in our own family. We call them a black sheep sometimes. Some of us suspect maybe that we've been married to a weed.
people here pretending to be something they are not. Holier than you are. Have it more together than you really have it. Knowing things you really don't know. Pretending in some way. There are people who are certain that they are weak and pretty certain who they can tell who the weak are. But the main point of this parable, one of them, is that we don't know. We really don't know. Wow. Wow. So, this is from the saying of the Desert Father. So, I like some of this obscure Christian spirituality stuff, and I just found this in this story, and I loved it. So, I don't know if Laura can get this back to her, but I'll just tell you the story. Some people brought a demoniac to a hermit, and it's a place in Egypt, and they begged him to cure this man. And after being pressed for some time, the hermit said to the demon, "Go out of God's creature." And the demon replied, "I will, but first let me ask you a question. Tell me, who are the goats and who are the sheep?" Referring to the parable from Matthew 25. The hermit wisely and humbly responded, "The goats are people like myself. Who the sheep are, God alone knows." At these words, the demon shouted aloud and immediately went out. The truth is, you don't have authority to proclaim yourself a sheep. You don't have authority to proclaim yourself a sheep. Let me personalize this a little bit. Is Calvin a sheep or a goat? I have done a lot of sheep things in my life. I have done a lot of sheep things in my life. But I've also done goat things. And if someday, by God's grace, you make it into heaven and you're looking around heaven and you're like, "Where's Calvin? And I'm not there," it's because Jesus decided I'm a goat. If in my judgment Jesus calls me a bad fish, I testify before you now in the church that I'm a bad fish. And the Lord is justified in all his judgments against me, and I say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." The point I'm making is, I don't decide my salvation. That is the choice of the Son of Man. And the point isn't to try to make us worry about our salvation, to not have a surety of our salvation. The point is that I'm not qualified. And I can't see everything as clearly as I need to see it. And I can't even judge myself fully and impartially in the way that I need to be judged. But the assurance I have of my salvation, it's a secret I carry in my heart. And the assurance I have that I'm going to be together with the Lord forever, it's not based on the good things that I've done. The assurance of faith I carry is that Jesus is even better than I think he is. The assurance of faith that I carry is that he is able to do far more than I can ask or imagine. The assurance of faith that I carry is that nothing is ever going to be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But I cannot go or a goat. So why does God allow good seed and bad seed to grow together? We're in the world, are we not? We face a lot of very tough worldly situations and things. And we do it because that's where we've been planted. And that's where God has put us. And being in the world is not a bad thing. We're supposed to be in this but that doesn't make us of the world. See, we are planted in the world, in the midst of some very messy situations, in order to produce the fruit of the kingdom that blesses those around us. See, Jesus came into a sinful world as an oasis in the desert. And he was very comfortable in this world, hanging around some very sinful, gross, messed up people that were clearly sinners. The scripture tells us that over and over again. Jesus knowingly puts good seed into this world mixed with bad seed, and he still expects us to produce a harvest of righteousness. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Can you imagine? Jesus was very comfortable in this world and hanging around with the sinful people of this world, and yet never, ever partaking in the delicacies of sin. And I think one of the points that this parable of the wheat tares is getting to is one of the reasons you and I are not qualified to decide who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. We're not qualified to remove the weeds. Because in the power of the kingdom of God, sometimes bad weeds are turned into good seeds. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the word of God. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Don't try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and it annoys the pig." But in the kingdom of God, sometimes, just sometimes, there are some pigs out there that actually want to learn how to sing. And I would say our church is full of singing pigs. And I mean that in the best way. That's a scene from this show called Babe. The kingdom of God is full of plants that look like weeds for a very long time, and then something changes. And what I clearly understood to be a weed is now suddenly producing the fruit of the kingdom of God. It's the power of the gospel. And the opposite is also true. The kingdom of God has a lot of plants growing that look like they are from good seed. But really, they're just cheap grass. By their fruit, you will recognize. Are they producing the fruit of the gospel? The fruit of the kingdom. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians. For whatever reason, they never become a disciple of Jesus. People who look like us, they act like us, they talk like us, they sing the same songs that we sing. They believe in God. They know about his word. Perhaps they've even brushed up against the Holy Spirit in some way. And yet, somewhere in their heart, they have said, obeying Jesus is not the most important thing in the world to me. There are people who are weeds, and they look like weeds. Maybe they think they are weeds. And we find ways to justify not doing what God actually calls us to do. And if you're lukewarm, and if you're half-hearted, and if you're double-minded, it's because of what you believe in your heart. And you may be able to cover the reality of your heart and your life with all kinds of beautiful religious language. But behind every lukewarm, half-hearted, double-minded Christian out there is someone who is saying, "You didn't do enough for me. You didn't make it easy enough for me, Jesus. You didn't make it clear enough for me, Jesus." Jesus' own disciples saying, after seeing everything that they saw. Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Or the Pharisees and teachers of religious law coming in saying, what miraculous sign are you going to show us to prove your authority? Just do something a little bit more so I can have a little more certainty. Because what you call me to, Jesus, a living sacrifice, is not an easy thing. It's a very hard thing. God's invitation to come into His kingdom, it goes out to His image bearers throughout all of creation. But there is always a responsibility that we have on our part. The invitation goes wide, but it requires us to accept that invitation in faith. In fact, there's no way to be a disciple of Jesus without faith. You have to choose Him as well. So one more little sorting word from the scriptures from Matthew 22. When the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed the man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you were here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king sent his aide, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Those are chilling words to me. So to summarize this lesson, this parable of Jesus called the wheat and the tares. The kingdom, it draws in all kinds of people. All kinds of people. Both wheat and weeds. God allows the wheat and weeds to grow together because the power of His Word in us and through us can transform useless weeds into fruitful weeds. The Lord is the one who knows and is able to sort out His harvest. That's not you and I's place. But what we are in a church, I think, this is from my friend Dallas Willard. Church should be like a hospital with people in all kinds of different stages of healing, in different stages of the transformation process of turning from a weed into weeds, turning into something fruitless into someone who's fruitful for the kingdom. Healing and health, we're receiving treatment and progressively getting better. That's the power of the gospel at work in the community of faith. God's word and the spirit at work in us and changing us. And that process lives in His church. Well, that's our lesson for today. And even though some of these are heavy words of the seriousness of this sorting, I want you to hear, and I believe, that Christ is able to turn a person from who is a goat and turn them into a sheep, who is a weed, and help them produce the fruit of the kingdom. That is the goodness of our Lord. And we have a surety in who Jesus is, that He is who He says He is, and He knows exactly how to take care of things. And so, whatever needs you have this morning, for prayers, put the Lord on in baptism. If there's something that we can do as a church to be a help to you, I'll be right up here. You can come and let me know about those needs. But let's go ahead now and stand and sing our invitation song.